Good morning. This is Thursday, February 1st, 2007, at approximately 9:30 a.m. We're here in the caucus in the commission conference room at the PUC offices at the State Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. This is the time and place for the ad hoc commission meeting. Do we have Mr. Wazorek on the line?
I'm here, Mr. Commissioner.
Great. We can hear you wonderful. We've got Ms. Rogers, Mr. Coit, Ms. Northrup, and a number of other people here at in the conference room. With that, we've only got a single item on our agenda this morning. It's under telecommunications TC06-181. And the question is today, what is the commission's decision? We have received briefs on this issue, and at this time, I suppose it would be appropriate to give the parties an opportunity to make oral arguments. With that, I suppose Altel filed the request to use the Office of Hearing Examiners. So, although the initial brief was really filed by Ms. Rogers, who is appropriate to go first, Ms. Weiss? Okay, go ahead. Mr. Wazorek?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over the arguments that have already been submitted. As I said during the last commission meeting, when this issue was raised, I think the commission's already decided this twice. I don't see that there's any real difference in the request this time compared to the last two times. The only new issues raised by Venture in their brief was a claim that this is somehow a rulemaking proceeding. As we have fully set forth in our response brief, this is not a rulemaking proceeding. The rulemaking proceedings under our statutory scheme are very direct and very, there's a number of steps one must go through to make a rule. The commission's not following any of those procedures here. Venture has not requested the commission follow any of those procedures, and frankly, if you read through those procedures found in Chapter 126, this doesn't make sense as a rulemaking proceeding. This is clearly a contested case as defined by our statutes, and as such, as a contested case, as the commission's previously determined, Altel has the right to request use of Office of the Hearing Examiners, and that's a right that the legislature has granted. The other issue raised was that the filing wasn't timely. However, if one looks at the statute as to when the timing or the request to use the Office of the Hearing Examiners has to be made, the statute's fairly specific, and it gives the right to use the Office of Hearing Examiners, and the statute we're referring to, of course, is 126.18.3. It gives us up to 10 days after notice of the hearing has been filed under 126.17. 126 hearing notice has not been filed by the commission under 126.17, and thus our deadline hasn't even been set, so the filing was timely. The commission might recall when we tried to file early one time, the previous time with the Venture arbitration, we were forced to file an affidavit to prove the jurisdictional amount, because generally that's taken care of in the notice. But in both the Venture arbitration filing and in this filing, we have filed before the notice, which means we're actually filing earlier than required to. As to the timing of getting this matter completed, we believe there's plenty of time for the Office of Hearing Examiners to hear this, render their proposed findings, conclusions, and decisions, and send it back to the commission for a final decision. Short of questions, that's all I'd have today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wazorek. Ms. Rogers. Well, my apologies for my presumption, Ms. Northrup. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Margo Northrup. I'm an attorney at Ryder, Rogers, Wadier, and Brown here in Pierre. With me today, I also have Darla Rogers, who will be available for any questions or anything if you need that. Also, Rich Coit from SCTA is with us today. I want to thank you for allowing this oral argument and hearing this case. I know that this is not a new issue to the Commission. The Commission has had this before them on two separate occasions, one in the Venture arbitration and the second in the Golden West arbitration. Two of the main issues that we made in those cases was the federal preemption argument and also the statutory construction argument. I am not going to go into those in great detail today unless there are any specific questions. We would rely on the brief that we submitted and the arguments that we made in those other two cases. What I am going to focus on today is the new issue that we raised in this, whether or not this meets the definition of a contested case under 126. I guess I just want to start out by pointing out that there is a distinction between the arbitration case and the suspension and modification case. In the arbitration case, the commission, or actually it will be the Office of Hearing Examiners, is looking at a contract between two parties and determining disputes that are specific to those two parties. In the suspension and modification case, it's a little bit different. Venture is the one that filed that, and they're asking this commission to suspend or modify federal rules. This is different than the arbitration. I know that one thing that Mr. Wazorik will argue is that, well, there are, Altel and RCC are parties to this case. However, they're not directly, or they are indirectly affected by the decision of the commission. The definition of contested case is held in 126-12, and I think Mr. Wazorik has said in his brief that we're trying to categorize this as a rulemaking. I don't think that's probably very fair. I think that this is more of a quasi-legislative function, and which has been defined in some of the case law here in South Dakota. Specifically, the case that we have to look at that gives us guidance on, you know, which hat the commission is wearing, whether this is an adjudicatory hearing or a quasi-legislative hearing, is the Union Carbide Corporation case. What that case says is that a case is adjudicatory in character if it's particular and immediate, rather than, as in the case of legislative or rulemaking action, general and future in effect. And I would submit to you that the suspension and modification is general in future. It specifically applies to all telephone providers like Altel. It's just an example. I mean, they've just intervened in this case. It applies generally to everyone. And one of the other things that Mr. Wazorik said in his brief is that the language that he grabbed onto was that it's a contested case because it determines the legal rights, duties, or privileges of a party. I would submit to you that indirectly, yes, it does affect the legal rights and duties or privileges of Venture, but it only does so when you modify or suspend the rules, which we're actually asking you to do. I think Talbot also went in his brief, like we said, that this was a rulemaking procedure, and it does not fit into the definition of the rulemaking or the procedure set by in 126. That doesn't mean that it's not a legislative function. I would also look at some of the other out-of-state cases that we submitted for you to look at, and you know, those cases show that the commission is oftentimes working in a legislative capacity. When they're looking at broad classes of unspecified individuals, or if they're looking at a certificate of necessity, those type of things are legislative in nature. Today, we think that this case is different than the arbitration cases, and we would ask that you rule that it's not a contested case, take the jurisdiction. There's also very important policy considerations. This is one of those cases that you need to look at the public interest, convenience, and necessity. You also have to look at economic impact on users of telecommunication services generally. This is what the function of the commission is, and that's what we're asking you to do. I would be available for any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Northrup. Maybe instead of taking questions at this time, we'll look to staff for their analysis or recommendation at this time.
I just
Mr. Coit, my apologies.
No, that's okay. I just shut it off. I just, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I would like to just briefly comment, and as a way, I guess, of making the record on this issue, there's an attachment to the comments that we submitted, or the the response that we submitted that includes some SDTA comments that we submitted, I think, in the Golden West case on the OHE transfer issue. I continue to believe, and I'm stating this primarily for the record because I know that you've heard these arguments, I continue to believe that the statutory interpretation that has been adopted of 126.18.3 is not correct, and we'd just like to continue to state that for the record. We don't believe those provisions should be interpreted so narrowly, and that the way they're being interpreted currently does not give appropriate effect to the provisions in 126D, Chapter 126D, which give the Commission the option of contracting with the Office of Hearing Examiners. And we believe that parties should only have the right to request a transfer in those situations where the Commission has actually entered into that contract with OHE, taking care of issues with regard to how OHE, for example, might be reimbursed for its expenses. This commission has an assessment process for recouping some of its costs associated with contested cases. Interpreting the statutes together certainly works better in terms of recovering costs It just seems to me that without the appropriate arrangements being in place, that what we really have is a fairly chaotic process. We also have a lot of concerns about this particular request from a timing perspective. Under the federal law, you've got 180 days to review these petitions for suspensions and modifications and make the decision. Now that this request is put in, and I think it was put in a little over 2 months after this case was started, we're quite a ways into the process. And even though technically you may be able to argue under the statute that, you know, they're timely with their request, from a practical standpoint, it's certainly not very timely at all. It appears, based on the motion to dismiss that was filed by Altel yesterday, that really what they're interested in doing here is just preventing in any way possible the hearing of arguments and evidence, the presentation of evidence with regard to the petition for suspension and modification. And I think this is just another attempt on their part to basically deprive Venture of the due process that it deserves on its petition. I have not done any research on equitable estoppel, but it certainly seems to me that this might be a case that would be appropriate for that. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Coit. Before moving to staff, I'll check to see if anybody else wants to talk, because I've made a number of mistakes already with this, so anyone else? Great, thanks. Ms. Van Bakker, did you have something from the staff perspective?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Commissioner. This is Kara Van Bakker from staff. It sounds as if the parties all agree that the only new argument before the commissioners today is the argument regarding the rulemaking quasi-legislative function versus a contested case and whether or not this is indeed a contested case. Staff argues today that it is a contested case, that legal rights and duties will be determined in the Commission's decision, ultimately decided by the Commission, and that it is a contested case. Staff has the same opinion, would make the same arguments regarding the preemption statutory construction as it has in the past, so won't repeat those today. The other issue was timing. And I would agree that the statute doesn't preclude the request from occurring at this time. It may be difficult, I agree, with the 180-day time frame, but the statute doesn't preclude the request at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Van Bakker. Normally at the beginning of the meeting, I note that, for the record, that I'm Commissioner Dusty Johnson and that Commissioners Gary Hansen and Steve Kolbeck are present at the meeting, and I didn't do that, so I'll do that. Are there any questions by commissioners or advisors for any of the parties? Any questions or comments from commissioners or advisors? If there aren't any, a motion is in order. I would have one unless one of my colleagues is would prefer to make it. I think a couple of arguments have been advanced by Ms. Northrup in the brief. I do, and I think some of the arguments are compelling, but despite that fact, I do think that this is a contested case, not a rulemaking. Well, I certainly think it's a contested case. I think because of the provisions of SDCL 126.17 that the request is not untimely, and I do think that in the past the Commission has been correctly interpreting the provisions of SDCL 126-18.3. I share Mr. Coit's concerns about the timing and the process, but the legislature has not granted us the authority to determine when we think statutes are impractical. And as a result, I would move that we grant the request to move this case to the Office of Hearing Examiners.
I second the motion.
I will concur with the motion. I feel compelled to at least make a statement pertaining to what has transpired here. There doesn't really seem to be a question on the timing issue. I don't know that I fully embrace the statement by Mr. Coit that this creates a chaotic process, but I think it is an appropriate comment, because I would like us to hear this. I think it's appropriate for us to hear it. I think going before the Office of Hearing Examiner is, and with no offense towards whomever that person may be, I just think that there's a certain there's a mountain of information and staff and knowledge that exists within the Public Utilities Commission that doesn't necessarily exist there in the OHE. And I just think that it would be proper to have the hearing here. I think it would be best for all parties to have that that knowledge and that that staff ability to provide the proper outcome of it. And I don't mean to say that a proper outcome won't take place before the OHE. However, it's work. I believe we're constrained in a position where we must send it to the Office of Hearing Examiner, and so I do concur.
Motion is made and carries. I believe that completes the business before the Commission today. Thank you very much to all the parties. We're adjourned.